Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Something that I've spoke about before, living in the know. It doesn't matter when, it doesn't matter how, it doesn't matter who, it doesn't. We got the guys, we got the coaches, we live in the known. And so when our moment comes, when their moment comes, whoever it is on the team, we'll make the play. And so, like I said, we gotta get better throughout the game. But you know, when it comes down to it, we know we're gonna make the plays at the right moment, the right time, and we're gonna go win the game.
It made sense to me. Caleb Williams talking about living in the known. He discussed it first after their win over the Saints. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. As we continue to talk about listening to what Ben Johnson had to say yesterday after he watched the tape of the Bears escaping Minnesota with a 19-17 win. Mark, after the national groundswell of living in the known, do you feel like you are, like, now that more people are talking about it, do you feel any differently about the phrase?
I don't. Sorry.
He's manning two microphones here. It's very tricky.
Figure the whole thing out.
Did you just turn both the mics on?
I did.
Yeah, don't do that.
I did. But
the other one is broken.
But I've got the
ding,
the
right. Ding.
What was the question again?
Are you doing that on purpose?
Yeah. Well, no, reset me. What was the question?
Saying after the national attention on living in the known.
Oh, right. Living in the known. No, because, Layla, because all it did was add to the volume of people trying to define it to me. And everyone, every definition is, and you guys are zeroing in on it, every definition is a little bit different, which I feel adds to my point that I have no idea what living in the know, living in the known, what do you know?
Did we put the request in for the associate head coach of the Bears? Have we put that request?
Antoine Randall L., who was the one who first coined it.
Yes, we did, sir.
Okay.
Local man Antoine Randall L.
I covered his games way back when.
The way it looks like he can still run a few like receiver routes, by the way.
Layla, the way Mark's bit works is the more people who explain it to him, the more willfully obtuse he can be. Because you're like, well, they're giving me different definitions. I don't know who to believe.
Am I being obtuse now, Mr.
Yes.
Marshall?
Yes.
Aren't you always a little.
Some people live in the known. I live in the obtuse. Okay. That would actually be better.
See?
It is really that hard would be to better. Take you seriously with a broken microphone. Another one you have to physically hold up.
Yeah, and the blue haircut.
You're mad.
And the readers.
And your chair is
and the
super
beard.
High.
Yeah, you try to hold a limp mic is just.
I'm really putting out a good product these days. That's what I am trying to do.
Now, I will continue to examine this because it is gaining a lot of steam. But I also just want to go back to something that Ben Johnson also talked about. This is his known. This is his knowledge. As much as we've talked about play calling in the history of working here, and as much as people in the NFL and fans talk about play calling, we don't do it much with Ben Johnson. I think there are times where we still could. I don't think he ran the ball enough against the Vikings. I would have liked to have seen more for that game in particular. When you know Brian Flores is blitzing 66% of the time or whatever it is, crazy. I would like to see more running yards than passing yards. They still outgained 180 to 140 in the passing game. But here's what Ben Johnson had to say when it came to one particular play call. The red zone play to Colston Loveland.
The red zone play to Colston, I think it was third quarter. Looked like a pump and go on your sideline. And I think Vikings didn't bite. kind of throws it. I don't know if it was like a throwaway. I don't know what the options are for Caleb in that situation.
Yeah, he's got to bail out a bad play call is really what it comes down to. And so that's one of the few that I want back as well. It's not a good play.
Wow. Heavy duty right there from Ben Johnson. I mean, that the accountability continues to be real from him.
I understand what he's saying there. I need to know more details about why that was the wrong play call. And the fact that he could leave it like that, that leads to skepticism, right?
Because, okay, let's reverse engineer this. If the play didn't work, to any of us, it's a bad play call, right? Like, you could say that pretty easily, and it would make sense.
Well, some coaches, though, they'll say, execute. The play was right there. Execute. It's really
look
funny.
At Mark Grody right now.
No. It's funny though.
Oh, they were supposed to do this. They were supposed to have intercepted Joe Flacco a fourth time.
No. But like seriously, some coaches will literally.
It was execution.
When you question their play calling, they'll say, "Well, the plays are fine. They need to execute."
Well, this is.
I don't know if it's refreshing or just so antithetical to what we're used to, that it catches us off guard the way that Ben Johnson describes when plays don't work.
Well, and here's what's funny too, is there are some coaches who are known for saying it a lot. Like Gary Kubiak would used to say it all the time. That's on me. That's on me. Like, wait, I got the tone down perfectly.
Did he do it in a genuine way?
Because he too was an offensive minded coach, mm-hmm. and that was part of his purview, and it was the same kind of concept. But I am of the point right now where I feel like, I'm like, I don't know that was a bad call, Ben Johnson. I kind of like what you do. Like, but ultimately, if you can't run it, then it is ultimately a bad call, and I see why he feels the need to take responsibility.
I think some of the irony here, too, is that if you're talking about not running the ball enough, I'd say they ran it a little too much at the very end. I'm still a little bit confused
Okay, listen to this. You're right. They didn't run it enough. But more importantly, they ran it when they needed to, which was at the end.
It worked.
Because it works. And I think you can be Ben Johnson and have all these ideas about things that you think you're going to do, and then Brian Flores says, I'm going to blitz on 2/3 of your passing downs, uh-huh. and that makes you recalculate what needs to be done just to survive and win the game. And running the football late when the other team's defensive line is a little spent and the linebackers are too, yeah, just do that. And it worked to perfection.
It's a good point. Like with all the blitzing that was coming, depending on the numbers that you trust of the actual percentage of the time that Flores was blitzing, it's still a little bit surprising that in this season where it feels like we've all agreed and Ben Johnson has uttered it and everybody that's talked about Caleb has uttered it, that he is ice cold in a good way in the fourth quarter, that he's earned that. If we know one thing about Caleb, he is good and to be trusted in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden you get a 61-yard return, then it's DeAndre Swift to the left for 4. DeAndre Swift rushed to the right for 2-yard loss. Swift rushed to the right for a 7-yard gain. Chicago timeout, 48-yard field goal, which none of us were sitting there thinking, oh, yeah, that's a gimme. He's going to absolutely make this. So it was different. He did behave differently, and the trust was less in this quarterback who supposedly has ice in his veins in the fourth quarter.
You know what's not a gimme? You know what's not a gimme? A passing play, because then if you get sacked, you're talking about a big loss of yards, and now you're talking about a 56, 57-yard.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Wait, hold on. When you say the trust, what do you mean there? when you're talking about the trust was different than the, the quarterback in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it felt like it was different, like from previous fourth quarters. And I'm not like, you're building a nice case here for sure, Mark. Like, it's about the winning in that moment and doing what you have to do. But they were not guaranteed of a win with 48 yards. A 7 or 8 yard pass, like all of a sudden, you are so mistrusting of the moment. I find that a little bit odd considering who the quarterback has been this year.
I want to offer this, though. Ben Johnson was asked about running the ball for Cairo Santos in those final minutes. And he said that there was a guarantee of understanding what 5 extra yards meant to the guarantee of his accuracy. So I would have done the same thing.
Run, run, run.
My issue, yes, because it's not necessarily that you don't trust your quarterback. It's that at that point, you've already decided you want the field goal. Now you better make sure you're in the right part of the field to where when he's kicking with that left trajectory, as we saw, he doesn't miss it wide left like the 45-yarder. He's getting just inside like he did with the game-winning 48-yarder. So I don't mind running the ball there. I see why you think that might be a trust issue. My bigger issue is, schematically, your entire offense is based on that run game. So if that's the case, and you know the run opens up the pass, why didn't you do more of that? And you mentioned the DeAndre. You know how I feel about them running to the left side with DeAndre Swift on Sunday? I thought that was the better move. I know the original EPA says to run to the right side, but they weren't getting much on the right side at all. They had to run it to the right side there to get the ball where Santos could kick it better. But I think overall, the left side was opening up a lot more for them, and that's something that I wish they had had back.
Mark, to your point about the trust, I don't think it's a lack of trust in the quarterback. I think he trusts his running game and his offensive line more than anything, because we've already established that's the best part of this offense right now is that offensive line. And I want to be very clear. If Devin Duvernay doesn't do what he does, of course Caleb would have been back there slinging it, because that's what they would have had to do with 50 seconds on the clock. So
yeah.
I think they just got a fortunate situation where they could opt into the safest bet, which was running the football to get into a better field goal position.
I just think doing what you had to do to Layla's point, getting the right positioning, getting a few yards here and there, was a dangerous game at 48 yards with Cairo having missed a 45-yarder.
It was going to be dangerous regardless, because it was Cairo Santos who had just missed a 45-yarder. So
But you would have felt, I would not have felt nervous if it was a 38-yarder or a 35-yarder in that case.
But why put that again? To me, the bigger risk was the sack potential and understanding we've seen this offense, yes, with Ben Johnson as the play caller, be sacked out of field goal position this season. Don't take that chance with the game on line. Your offensive line, those are the dudes, the hosses. DeAndre Swift, Kyle Manunga, whoever you want to put back there. You threw Cole Kmet into the backfield to help, and you saw how well that last run play worked. It was executed to perfection.
I just think both can be true. And also, as much as we talked about the passing game from the quarterback perspective, there were another set of drops again this week, echoing what we saw against the Giants, where you can't necessarily say this is going to work for this team in this moment. Like, there was a drive before that where I think they passed on first down and they didn't have to and it didn't go well. And we're asking, why did you do that? So maybe you use that drive as a test to set up the next time you had the football. That's another piece of this. I think Ben Johnson absolutely has strategy in those situations like that. It's like when Caleb Williams said, the other week we were hunting a certain coverage that was against the Bengals. I do think they do a bit of that. I think for whatever reason, and we know him to be a formidable opponent, Brian Flores has a multiplier effect against these Bears. Like, he's good, and then there's Brian Flores base level for him versus the rest of the league, and there's Brian Flores, him versus the Bears. And that's another level.
The gamesmanship was interesting to watch between those two, between Flores and Ben Johnson. And I think the biggest moment was it was hilarious. You know, Ben Johnson's like, oh, yeah, I'm bringing in Tyson Bagent. I'm going to do this whole thing again. I'm going to put him in.
As a straight decoy.
This is a straight decoy. That's all it was. Okay, come on out, Tyson. Come on. Come on now. Come
it
on.
It happened twice, right?
Yes.
Didn't it happen twice?
Did he line up twice in that game?
Oh,
I did. I missed one. Missed one of those.
Yeah.
He did like, two separate times during the game. And both times I was thinking, okay, what's going to happen? And what was remarkable about the play calling all game, there were no quote-unquote trick plays. It was just straight football. But the looming threat maybe made Brian Flores think twice about what he wanted to do on specific plays.
He's going to have a little something-something at Soldier Field against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's got the basket of trick plays on reserve here.
I like when he does it at home.
I think we got to set some sort of number because you're right. No trick plays, no fun. Well, except for lining up Tyson Bagent. There's something to that. You know, he's winking at the world when he does that.
So did you hear Cole Kmet was on with CHGO, and you know how the Tyson Bagent did the same thing, and it was called Baby Daddy. And he explained the whole thing. So Cole Kmet's trick play was called Lake Forest, because he's like, I don't know why. I think it's because I live in Lake Forest or something. It was a pretty funny explanation.
We can't come up with anything, so we're going to go generic Lake Forest.
Guys, no, here's... I told you what I want to do, right? The biggest... I think Ben Johnson is this level petty where he would be into it. I don't know. Could somebody mail him a letter or something from me suggesting this? Robbie, write that down.
Robbie.
I've got stamps. So sad. So here's the thing.
Robbie.
I want him to run the Eric Kramer play.
Want him to run the Eric Kramer play?
Yep.
Exactly like they tried against the Commanders, but just in a more sure down and distance, like first and goal instead of, I don't know, fourth.
Oh, you said Eric Kramer. That's why I got confused.
Or Doug Kramer.
I got you.
I was still confused. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm the Bears historian, and I can't even think of this thing.
I'm sorry. The Kramer with the Bears who's first in my mental Rolodex here the is definitely who, Eric, but Doug Kramer. Like if
the
they
guy
just,
with the pads on his
The guy with the awesome grandparents.
If they were the same mini fridge play, wouldn't that be hilarious?
It's running just God's like play down there was pretty good.
As a troll to last year, I think that would be amazing.
Oh, I'd love that, because it would officially extinguish it.
Let's run this one. We're going to execute it this time.
Did I ever tell you guys about the time I was on the elevator with Grandma Kramer and Grandpa Kramer?
Yes, you have.
It was a great moment right there. So you don't want to hear about it again.
Wait,
okay.
I want to hear about it, but I know we're up
against there's nothing to it. I ran into the grandparents. Done.
Don't lie.
And they knew who Mark Grody was, and they recognized him, and they told him they love him.
And I have witnesses.
See, I just told the whole story in 5 seconds.
That's adorable.
And they said Bears.
They said Bears.
They did not say Bears.
And then one of the Bears looked at you.
But there were no Bears. No Bears whatsoever.
That is a deep cut Simpsons reference for anybody listening.
Wait, what was the reference?
It was Mr. Skinner and Mrs. Krabappel, and one of the babies looked at me. That's a really deep cut.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Deep cut
we're
Simpsons
studs.
Reference.
Get Studs in here. He'll get it.
There it is. Coming up next here on Raheem Harris and Grody. You know who had a statement win last night? Bulls. We'll talk about it next.
What?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.